Hey, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for tuning in with us again this weekend. New Life Church Online, how about that? I'm so glad you're worshiping with us. I would encourage you to continue to worship with us with your giving, your generosity. There's many ways to give at New Life Church. Of course, you can always give online and set up your recurring giving. If you so choose, you can send it in the mail right here to 1803 East Vail Avenue in Kokomo, or you can even text to give. But whatever your mode of giving is, I just want to say a big thank you. You're helping move the ministry and the mission of God forward through New Life Church. And for those of you that go above and beyond, and you're helping send missionaries throughout the whole world by giving to missions, another huge thank you from me and our staff and from all of our missionaries that we support and the networks that we're a part of. Thank you for helping get the whole gospel to the whole world. And that's what you do when you give to missions. So thank you for those of you that go the extra mile and give an extra portion to missions. Also, I tell you what, if you're new, in other words, maybe you've never been to an in-person service, I would love for you to let us know you're watching. You can simply do that by texting the word CONNECT to the number on the screen, and we would love to know you're watching. And when you text that word CONNECT to this number, our team will send you a digital form that you can fill out. Let us know who you are, and we want to give you some great next steps in your faith walk with Jesus. So thanks for being a part. Thanks for tuning in. We would love to connect with you, so you can shoot a text to that number. That'd be awesome. This week, we are going to continue part three of our four-part series called Help, I'm. And in this series, we're tackling some different topics that I know people need help with. And I hope this is helping you, because I know that there are a lot of resources. There's a lot of things where you can find help. But what I have come to know is that there is no help like God's help. And there's no healing like God's healing. There's no hope like God's hope. And my prayer is throughout this series is that you will find and know truly by experience that the love of God, that he has help, healing, and hope for you in your current situation. And so 2 weeks ago when we started this series, week one, we talked about help, I'm stuck. You ever just get stuck in life? Well, we looked at the life of Ruth and how Ruth was at a place where she was absolutely stuck, but she found out how to unstick her life. Last week, we said, help, I'm offended. Help, I'm offended. And we said that offense happens because, one, you get offended. You cannot avoid the fact that offense will happen. But, two, you take offense. And it is possible to get offended without taking offense. And then, because when you take offense, you harbor resentment in your heart. Resentment literally makes a home in your heart, and it causes you to be bitter. And then you develop relationship deficits. Because when you have bitterness in your heart, bitterness always bleeds through into other relationships in your life. And so offense that harbors this resentment, you've got to get it out of your life. And the only way to get out of your life is forgiveness. And how to tackle offense is, well, pray for your offender. Go talk to them personally, not your friends, not anybody else. Don't go gossiping about it. Go talk to them, and then forgive like Jesus. Now, I would love for you to get caught up on our series, our first 2 weeks, if you've not yet, and you can simply do that by going to newlife4kokomo.org, where you can see our full archive of messages there. I'd love for you to get caught up on our Help, I'm series. But today, this is going to be a good one for many, many, many people out there. Today, I want to say, help, I'm stressed. Help, I'm stressed. We got any stressed people out there? Come on, you're stressed out, you're burnt up, you're used up, you're stressed. Maybe your mom at home and you're stressed. Maybe work is just stressful. Maybe there's no white space on your calendar. Your calendar's completely full. You're stressed. Maybe you sat down to pay the bills this weekend and now you're stressed, right? So there's all kinds of stress happening in our world today. And actually, 55% of Americans claim to be living stressed out. Over half of the population in our nation are living stressed out. And let me tell you, that is 20% higher than the world's average. So in other words, Americans are some of the most stressed out people in the world. And I can see it by the way you drive. I'm just kidding. That's a bad joke. Americans are some of the most stressed out people in the entire world, which is funny. It's interesting that that's true, because while Americans are the most stressed out people in the world, they also have the most opportunities than any other country. You enjoy the most freedoms than any other country. Americans get to have a great amount of wealth and prosperity. A lot of countries don't get to have that. And in America, you get to have the most freedom. Yet, with all of that being said, we lived as the most stressed out people in the world. Yet we have all of that opportunity, all of that prosperity. And some of the most common contributors to people saying, "Help, I'm stressed," is money. Money is a stressful contributor to most people in this percentage. But it's not just money. It's also relationships is the source of stress in people's lives. And family responsibilities is a source of stress. And another contributor is people's health. So these are some of the top contributors to people living stressed out, just to the max. And if you're living stressed out, the answer to your problem is that you need to create more margin in your life. So you need to create margin. And here's what margin is. Margin is the space between my current performance and my limits. So if my current performance is here, but my limit and capacity is here, the space in between is called margin. When you choose to live your life near your limit, where your performance and your limitation is close, you don't have much room for error. So that's why one problem in your relationship and it boils over. That's why one unexpected bill, one car repair, it boils over. You're one financial error away from the boiling point, because too many times people live without enough margin in their life. I want you to think of it like this. When you boil a pot of water, you always leave enough room in the pot for when the water begins to boil. Because if you were to fill the pot to the brim and have no margin in the pot, and then the heat gets turned up, what happens? The water begins to boil over. Moreover, what if you put a lid on the pot? And you know those lids actually that can clamp down? What if you clamp down this lid on this pot with no safety valve and you turn up the heat? You know what would happen? The water would begin to boil, the pressure would begin to increase, and eventually you will explode. And this is how people live their lives. They live their lives with no margin in their life, that when the heat turns up, and hear me, the heat will turn up in life. You will go through seasons where the heat is on, and you might reach your boiling point. But if you have margin, you're not going to explode your life. You're not going to boil over. You're not going to have a mess. You're not going to live stressed out. Why? Because if you have margin in your life, you don't have to live stressed out. So creating margin, having room for error. I want to show you what it says in Mark chapter 1. This is talking of Jesus, and it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Now listen very, very closely. Listen closely. I want you to watch Jesus' example that we can use to help create margin in our lives and not live so stressed out. First, look, it says, "Very early in the morning." Jesus woke up very early in the morning in order to go spend time with God. Now, not everybody's a morning person. I'm a little bit more of a morning person than other people in my family. But you know what I've come to know is that nobody ever wakes up early to do anything dumb. And nobody stays up late to do anything smart. It's always late at night that people end up finding themselves in trouble. And it's always early in the morning that the early risers are doing something productive. So nobody ever wakes up in the morning to do anything dumb, and nobody stays up late to do anything smart. And Jesus gives us this example that he uses the morning as a time to have margin in his life. He doesn't choose to be lazy. He doesn't choose to procrastinate. He chooses to get up early. And then it says, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So Jesus, his example to us is to get away. And when you want margin in your life, you have to separate yourself. You have to get away and find a solitary place. And notice that Jesus doesn't find himself in a solitary place to play. He finds it as a place to pray. Because margin always has to do with our relationship with God. So he separates himself. He prays because margin is about spiritual renewal and rest. Now, how many of you need that? You need that spiritual renewal and you need rest. So, and then it goes on, it says, Simon and his companions, they went to look for Jesus. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Hey, Jesus, everybody's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else. Let's go to the nearby villagers so I can preach there also." Watch this. "This is why I have come." So they come looking for Jesus. They say, "Jesus, hey, we've been looking for you. All these people, they want something from you. They have got expectations for you. Jesus, come and do for all of these people." And Jesus' response is like, "I'm out. I'm out. Let's go to the next village. This is why I have come." This is so, so important. Creating margin requires that you know what you're called to do. Jesus knew his calling was to preach and not to try to meet everybody else's expectations and be the hero for every little thing that they needed. He knew what he was called to do. He knew the timeline he had to get it done in. And so he knew, it's time to go. I know what I'm called to do. And so in your life, creating margin is about knowing your priorities and then saying no to everything else. If you want to create margin in your life and stop living stressed out, you have to know what you're supposed to do and say no to everything else. Because when you don't have margin in your life, you're living too close to the edge. When you don't have margin in your finances, you're living too close to the edge. And too many times, and too many people, they're living too close to the edge relationally. They're living too close to the edge financially. They're living too close to the edge emotionally. And they're living too close to the edge spiritually. So you've got to create margin in your life. Room for air, room for growth, room for spiritual renewal. And we see that Jesus often would escape to a solitary place, not to play, but to pray. And Jesus, he knew what he was there to do. He knew his calling. And when you know your calling and you know your priorities, then you need to learn to say no to everything else. To say no to everything else. So there's all of these things that are fighting for your attention. There's all of these things. And here in America, there's always these things that are being sold to us and marketed to us. And the need for more, the need to do more, the need to see more is only stressing us out. So there's all of these things that turn up the heat in our lives. And the heat is constantly always being turned up and it's causing people to live a stressed out life. What I'm going to tell you and give you five keys to turning down the heat. To turn the burner down. Turning the burner down will keep you from boiling over. And turning the burner down will help you create margin in your life. So the first one in helping turn the burner down in your life so you don't live so stressed out is keeping the peace with others. Come on, somebody right now, you're stressed out because there is no peace between you and those you live with. Right now, you need to turn the burner down because there's no peace when you show up to work in the morning. Somebody, you need to turn the burner down by getting peace back in to your classroom where you show up each day. So when we don't have peace, but we have chaos in relationships, the heat turns up, anxiety levels go high, and we live stressed out. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, and it does, live at peace with everyone. Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Live at peace with others. So in order to continue to keep peace with others, I want to tell you, it's going to look like giving people the benefit of the doubt. Just to keep peace with others, give somebody the benefit of the doubt. You know what that's called? It's called grace. Give somebody grace for them to make their errors. Give them the benefit of the doubt. And also, if you want to keep the peace with people, you need to be the one in the relationship. You need to be the friend. You need to be the coworker, or maybe you're the boss. You need to be the one who is always willing to cancel the debt. Always be willing to cancel the debt. And what I mean is, you need to be the first one who is always going to be willing to forgive frequently. Forgive frequently. And also, if you want to keep the peace with others, to turn the burner down from anxiety going up, to turn that down, if you want to stop living stressed out, some of you, you just need to learn how to, you learn how to close your mouth. You learn how to close your mouth. You need to learn to refuse to open your mouth against somebody else all the time and choose that you will only speak for people. And you can turn the burners down in your life and watch anxiety come down because you will begin to learn to keep peace with people as long as it depends on you. Make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. The second thing you can do to turn the burners down in your life is in keeping peace with others, but the second thing is to be a hard worker. Now, somebody just thought to themselves, working hard sounds stressful. But on the contrary, being a lazy person actually diminishes the amount of margin you have in your life. Because there are certain things in your life that will always catch up to you. Financial struggle will catch up to you. Relationship deficits will catch up to you. Your emotional struggles will catch up to you if you're going to be lazy about it. So being lazy just procrastinates the time that you have, and you have the same amount of time that I have. And when you procrastinate and you become lazy, you have now compressed the amount of time that you need to be productive. And because of that, now you live stressed out. I got to get all of this done today because you chose to be lazy. So if you want to turn the burner down and bring anxiety down and live a less stressed life, you have to learn to be a hard worker. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So here's the question. Would God be pleased with your performance like you are performing right now? Whether it's with your job, if you were doing that as unto God, would he be pleased with your performance? God wants you to be a hard worker and to work with all your heart. Look at this. Work at it with all your heart. Work on your finances with all your heart. Work on your relationships with all your heart. Work on being that parent with all your heart. Work on living less stressed with all your heart. Proverbs 14:23, it says this, all hard work brings profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. I would say it like this, all hard work leads to a profit. Everybody goes, cha-ching, yes, I want that. But the preface, it was hard work. But mere talk, or in other words, laziness, procrastination, only leads to poverty. And some people have the most money in the world, but they live a poverty-stricken life because they have a huge deficit in relationships, or they have a huge deficit emotional. That's why sometimes when people think money's the answer, so they work hard to get money, right? But then they end up depressed because you have to work hard on all of these things. All of these things. So five keys to turning the burner down. The first is keeping the peace with people, keeping the peace with others. Second, be a hard worker. Third is watch your physical health. Watch your physical health. 1 Corinthians 6 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you? Whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price, and therefore, look at this, honor God with your bodies. Honor God with your bodies. Your physical health. For some, you simply need to start taking care of your physical self, and that will help turn the burner down. They say that 20 minutes of exercise will double your energy. And people walk around all the time just, I have no energy. And your physical health is actually increasing anxiety in your life. Your physical health is actually turning the burner up. So to turn the burner down, don't forget to focus on and keep watch on your physical health. The fourth thing is be wise with your money. Be wise with your money. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will be brim with new wine. So being wise with your money, first, we have to get our priorities straight with our money. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits. So that's why as followers of Jesus, we come with first fruits. We bring the first tenth of the money that God gives us. All of our income belongs to God. And he's asking for us to bring a tenth, 10%. He's asking for us to bring that generosity to him. And so when we make that a priority, he says, then your barns will be filled to overflowing. So to be wise with your money, well, first you need to get your priorities straight with your money. Financial stress is one of the top reasons why people get divorced. So financial stress, it is real. And if you've ever been there, you know just how stressful finances can make your life. And you know the struggle it can cause even in your relationships. So get your financial priorities right. Remember, it's all God's money. So how much of my money is God's money? All of my money is God's money. He asked for 10% back, and he allows me to manage 90% of what he gives me. So all my money is God's money, which means I am responsible to steward whatever amount of money God allows me to have. We also know that the Bible tells us that he who is faithful with a little will what? Be entrusted with much more. Maybe you live so financially stressed is because you've not learned how to steward the little bit God has given you. And he wants to give you more, but you have to get the priority straight of God first in your money, and then learn how to steward your life off the rest. And when you begin to steward your life on what he's given you, he will bring the increase. He will give you so much more. So let me ask you a question. How are you doing at stewarding God's money? Notice what I said there. I didn't ask you, how are you at budgeting your money? I'm asking you, how are you doing at stewarding God's money? Let me ask you a second question. If you managed money for a company the way you are stewarding God's money, would you be fired? That's a tough question. If you were managing a company's money the way you're managing God's money he gave you, would you still have a job? And if the answer to that question is challenging you, well, then I would say it's time to get some priorities and goals set in your finances. And I know you would love a pay raise, wouldn't you? Everybody loves a pay raise. Did you know that you could give yourself a pay raise? That's right. You could give yourself a pay raise. All the time, I'm trying to look for ways that I can give myself a pay raise. And that doesn't mean that you go to your employer and you say, give me a pay raise. It's time for a pay raise. But you can give yourself a pay raise when you look over your finances and you cut the parts of your finances out that is unnecessary, that is an unnecessary controllable expense. So if you need margin, remember, all about bringing down the anxiety, bringing down stress, turning down the burner is all about creating margin. So you've got to look at how to create margin in your finances. To create margin in your finances, you can give yourself the margin, you can give yourself a pay raise when you look for uncontrollable expenses that are unnecessary and you cut them out. And that might even mean that you cut out cable TV, you cut out satellite TV to build margin back into your life. The only way to turn down the burner of financial stress is to create margin. You need margin. So turn down the burner, create margin, give yourself a pay raise. You can control your money. Don't let your money control you. The fifth thing, to turn the burner down, is to make time with God. Have you ever just been so stressed out that you just feel the heaviness on the inside of you? It's in those moments that when you can get into a solitary place and make time with God, He will bring a peace to you, even in the midst of the chaos. Even when you're struggling to have peace with others, even when you've procrastinated too long and you've got yourself in a pinch, or maybe you're concerned about your physical health and maybe you've not been wise with your money and you're on hard times. Even if these things are all out of sorts, you make time with God. He can bring you incredible peace and He can help you. Watch again. This is the scripture we looked at earlier, Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was dark, Jesus got up, He left the house, and He went off to a solitary place where He didn't play, He prayed. He prayed. You have to train yourself to become God aware. Because if you don't train yourself to be God aware, you will automatically only be self-aware. And the self-absorbed person always lives a stressed out life. So make time, have a place to pray, not play. Commit to, and I would also say, if you want to make God, put God first in your life, you want to give Him time, make a commitment to being part of a church. Make a commitment to making church a priority for you and for your family, because you need filled up. You need this time with the body of Christ, and you need this time to glorify God and worship and to receive from Him and be fed by the Word. You need this. So in closing, I want to show you in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, I'm going to read two verses. I'm going to read verse 2 and then verse 6. Verse 2 says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So there was emptiness, it was formless, it was void, and there was chaos on the surface. Verse 6 says, "And God said, let there be a vault," or "let there be a space between the waters to separate water from water, and we call it sky." So God's answer to something that was formless, empty, void, and chaotic, God's answer was to create space. God's answer was to create margin. He said, "Let there be space. Let there be a vault. Let there be margin between the waters." So here's what I want to leave you with. The antidote for an empty, and chaotic life is when the presence of God comes into our chaos and creates space. My prayer for you today is that you would look at all of these categories of your life, whether it's financial, emotional, relational, and you find a way to say, God, will you come into this chaos and create space? The only way out of a stressed out life is getting God into your chaos, where he can help you create margin again. So this week, if you're living financially stressed, you need to create margin back in your budget. And remember, it's all God's money. So prioritize God with your money. And he trusts you to steward the rest. How are you doing as stewarding God's money? So give yourself a pay raise. Find out what you can cut. Create margin. Maybe you've been living too close to the edge emotionally. And your emotions have just been sporadic. Well, I would tell you, you're living too close to the edge. You need to create margin again and to find healing in your emotions. Invite God into that chaos and allow his presence to make space again. And much like finances, cutting out the clutter, emotionally, you may need to declutter your heart. You're attached to too many things, and I pray the Holy Spirit would help you identify what those things are. And maybe you're living too close to the edge relationally, and you're having a lot of friction, you're having a lot of tension with you and a coworker, you and a family member, whatever it may be, or you and a sibling. Invite God into that chaos and his presence to create space again. He can bring that healing, that hope, that help into your life. So Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody watching today. And God, the cry of our heart is help. I'm stressed. And Lord, I pray that even today, people are inviting your presence into the chaos of their world, that you would help them create margin in their life, that we would not live so close to the edge where we cannot make any errors, but we will build margin into our lives by getting away with you, by being smart with our finances, keep living at peace with other people, not harboring unforgiveness, but giving forgiveness away free and frequently. And I pray that we can begin to move out of a stressed out life and live to be free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vale Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.